Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Unnecessary Noise, episode 31 of Unnecessary Noise. And it is a Monday when I'm recording this and hopefully getting this out to you later on today. But yeah, I think it's a good Monday. A little cloudy. And, you know, we got some stuff to talk about. As I said in the previous episode, we're going to be trying to get more of these out on a regular basis. I'd like to do, and again, pipe dream, I'd like to do Monday to Wednesday, 4 days a week, or Sunday to Wednesday, 4 days a week, half-hour segment, half-hour to an hour. That's the pipe dream. I'm not saying it's going to happen. I'm not saying it's going to always be great. But you know what? I'd like to be a little more consistent. I was looking at this. I'm like, episode 31, we started this last year. And it's been a little sporadic at times. Before episode 30, we didn't do one for the month of July. And it's been a little hectic and a little spotty coming into 2019, but that's all going to change. I promise you. Maybe that's just my season. Maybe I just don't do 360 days a year. We just do seasons, you know, from August to April. That is the season in which I like to do I like to do these podcasts. But yeah, we are here and wanted to talk a little bit about what happened on my weekend. I did Panorama Ridge, and I'm still recovering from bug bites from there. So I've got one massive bite that's like right on my brow, and it's weird because every time I crinkle my brow, I have a crinkly brow. Some people, when they furrow their brow, it's nice. It just kind of goes up. Mine looks like a Klingon or a Ferengi's. Like, that goes up and has a bunch of ridges. I look like a Star Trek alien that didn't make the cut. But now I look even worse. Now it's like I've got this one little, like, baby devil horn that's popping out because it's bit right on, like, the just off center, like, left to center of on the top of my forehead, right where you'd place that devil horn. So I got that, and then I got, like, a couple down on my ear. And the crazy thing is, like, I didn't feel these going down the mountain. I didn't feel these bug bites going down the mountain. I was walking and didn't feel them. I feel them today, though. They've all started, like, coming up within the past couple days. Like, I did the hike Friday. It was fine Friday. Saturday, I started to notice a few bumps. Sunday, they started getting itchy, and Monday, and now today, obviously, they're still pretty itchy, but I guess that's the nature of the business. That's what happens. So I've got all these bug bites, and I'm trying to do a show, trying to focus on doing a proper show, Unnecessary Noise. But yeah, it was, overall, aside from the bug bites, which, I didn't notice, I thought it was a good hike. Now, let me just see how I frame this, because I want to talk about the hike itself. So, I did it with my friend Nicole, and we ended up, we left at about, what, 6? I think I left, well, I said I was going to leave at 6. I'm not a morning person, as we discussed in episode 30. So, she wanted to leave at about 5:30. I said no. I said, let's go around, let's do 6. And then I ended up sleeping in till 6:30. I got up at 5:30. I rolled out of bed, realized I hadn't prepped anything, started prepping everything last minute, like I usually do. And then just kept texting. Oh yeah, just leaving now. I'm almost there. It's like, you know, I live like we were like 10 minutes away from. Yeah, I know. I got lost. Google crazy. I was on someone else's Wi-Fi and it kept taking me on alternate routes. I don't know. You know. So there was that that morning. So I got up. We finally hit the road around, was it 6:30, 6:45? Got to Garibaldi Lake. And if you haven't been to Panorama Ridge, Panorama, it's not panoramic. I keep saying panoramic, but it's panorama. It has panoramic views, but it's Panorama Ridge. And if you've never explored that area, what it is essentially, you hike about 6K up to Garibaldi. It's in Garibaldi Provincial Park. You hike into Garibaldi Lake, very well-maintained trail by BC Parks. And just before you get to Garibaldi Lake, the actual lake on the level where you could jump in the water part of the lake, you have the option to either go to the lake itself or go up and further down on another hike, which would lead you to Taylor Meadows, which then leads you to Black Tusk or Panorama Ridge. Panorama. I said panorama. I'm doing better. So we ended up getting to the trailhead about 9. And already, like, this is a 30-kilometer hike. And one of the ways, I guess, I just kind of do these hikes is I just throw myself into a hike. I'm like, yeah, let's do it. And I think one step in front of the other, as long as I do one step in front of the other, I can make it. I have no cardio whatsoever. Like, I also think this is, like, usually the way I kind of shed fat in the summer, is just by keeping myself going and doing these hikes. So, I hit this thing around 9. Already, I'm starting to get gassed on the way up, and probably about 100 meters in, I'm starting to pant heavy, just because I think my energy system is switching over, and I'm like, wow, I don't think I run. And also, I'm heavier this year than I am last year. And I'm not saying that's entirely due to my diet, but it's part of it. I don't think I've been eating as healthy as I could have. But I also think I've been hitting the weights a little more. I'd like to think that. I'm lifting heavier than I've ever had before. So that's a good thing. But also, so it's just my body type has, I think, gotten a little different. I've been short-term heavyweights, not used to doing this long-term hiking stuff, which is sad because I love doing the long-term hiking stuff. So I get going, and we start hiking. The person I'm hiking with is a triathlete. So she's having to stop, like, multiple times because I'm just like, hold up. Hold up, gonna need to, and, I mean, we've been on hikes before, but this one was a long one. So, we got to about, you get about 6K, I think 6 or 7K, and you reach the turning point where you can either go directly to the lake or to the campgrounds of Taylor Meadows. And Taylor Meadows is nice, but again, you're starting to get a lot of bugs. And it was misty, like, you're under forest cover for the first part of your hike, again, the first 6K, as you hike into the lake. So there's not very many views. It's just hiking up to the meadows. And then you get to the meadows, and it opens up, and it's beautiful. So there's this massive, there's a massive opening, and it's just fields. And then there are a couple campsites that are hidden amongst some trees by a creek. And, you know, yeah, I mean, some wooden stuff. Clearly, man has been there. And the BC Parks have put, like, wooden slats down, like a wooden floor, wooden bridge, like a little elevated trail that you can walk through. And you walk through that. And that's really nice because you get to see all the mountains. You're starting to get a glimpse of all the mountains. And when I did Black Tusk last year, I didn't get as good views because we were having forest fires. And this year, there haven't been as many forest fires in the lower mainland. I'm pretty sure there's still forest fires in BC, but not as bad. There we go. Let's look it up right now. Forest fires in BC. Forest fire activity. Let's go news. Well, 32 new fires have sparked lice in the last 7 days. So it's more, it looks like it's a little more up north and in the Okanagan Valley this year. It's happened a little later this year. Last year, I feel like it was earlier on in August. So it was clear when we hiked up. And I mean, there are a few tourists, few tourists that were walking by that, and, you know, we said hi and friendly. It wasn't as busy as I thought it was going to be. We went up on the Friday morning. So we kind of thought that I thought it was going to be packed. I thought people were going to be taking the day off work. They weren't. It was just a normal Friday, I guess. Probably, if anything, it would have been last Friday that would have been busy because you had the long weekend. But it was great. We were worked out. So we start hiking up Taylor Meadows, and the other thing I forgot, and this is a rookie mistake, I wore anklet socks with my boots. So if you're ever going hiking and you know, don't wear anklet socks. And if you do, just make sure you bring an extra pair. It's not good. So I wore these anklet socks with my boots, and it started rubbing hard. That didn't sound right. The back of my boot started rubbing hard against my heel. And by the time I got home, the entire side of my ankle had worn off, which is kind of gross. So I got a little Band-Aid, you know, toughened myself up. It happens. We get through Taylor Meadows. That was a quick aside. There's going to be a bunch of asides as I tell these stories. So we get through Taylor Meadows, and we get to the turnoff of Black Tusk and Panorama Ridge. And so you get to, so essentially what you can do is you can kind of climb up and over the mountain, or you can go along this fairly flat trail. And last year when we did Black Tusk, you actually don't, like, the trail itself doesn't actually go to Black Tusk. It goes to a lookout point, and then you have the option, I don't even know if you're supposed to do it, but you have the option of, like, climbing up further, especially in August, where it's just shale. And then you're kind of sliding down shale. You're going up two steps and then falling back down. Going up two steps, falling back down. So it's not a bad... it's pretty cool to try and do, but it's not necessarily the funnest terrain. Like you get a beautiful lookout, but it's not for me. It's not fun, I don't think. And I kind of get the same thing when I'm doing Panorama. Now I wonder if I'm saying this because it's 30K and I didn't really, you know, after already hiking like 10. You're just kind of achy. You know, had I started up at Taylor Meadows or Garibaldi Lake, this could be a different story. You know, I could be a little, I would probably be, you know, oh, this is nice. This is kind of cute and fun and stuff. No, but yeah, when you're already 15K into your hike or like 20 and you're realizing you have to start climbing up this hill, which is what ends up happening. You kind of descend down into the Helm Lake area, and then, which is another lake that's on the other side of Garibaldi. Basically, Garibaldi is and Helm are separated by these two mountain ranges, this mountain range, and you kind of have to climb over the tip of this mountain. So, that last little bit where it's really rocky terrain, going up the mountain. And climbing up into, and climbing up to the very top, the very peak, was a little tough for me, especially with my cardio. There are a lot of breaks. There are a lot of like, okay, hold up. Atmosphere's, I'm going to blame the atmosphere. Atmosphere was getting real thin. So, well, it had nothing to do with me. It was all the atmosphere. All the atmosphere in the world. So we get to the top of this. I get to the top. And you know what? There are some, it's amazing. You get to the top of the lookout and you're like, wow, this is why so many Instagram influencers are up here. It's beautiful. It's majestic. It is amazing. You're looking out and you're just seeing everything. Everything the world has to offer. I felt like Simba talking to Mufasa, and like James Earl Jones was just like whispering in, everything the light touches is your kingdom. And it's just like, because you're just seeing for miles and miles. And then like the crazy thing is, so we had cloud cover, and then you get through that fog, which has started to settle, and you can see this layer of fog below the lake and everything, and it's like where it's trapped. And then you can see these mountains poking out their like peaks over top of it. It's just crazy. I don't know. Movies and like video of it doesn't do it justice. The amount of pictures you can take don't give you the same sense of like, holy cow, this is amazing. This is why I come up here. Yeah. And then you realize you have to start your descent down. You take all your pictures up at the top. You take the selfies, you take the group shot, you take a couple just generic nature shots. You talk to some people up there, and then all the way down, you suddenly realize you have to go all the way back to the bottom. I will say the good news is on this one, I actually brought food this time. Last time I did Needle Peak with the same person, and I forgot food. I literally thought it was an hour and a half, because the year before I tried Needle Peak, I thought I'd gotten to the top. We'd gotten pretty close to the top, and we'd been hiking for about an hour and a half, and then we get there and it's still like and then we had to turn away because there was so much cloud cover. And then I realized, oh no, we didn't get it to the top at all. Like, I realized where we were, and suddenly, yeah. Like, the year before, was it 2018 when I tried to hike Needle Peak? It was so bad. The rain was coming in sideways and up. And I think I talked about this in an earlier podcast. The rain was coming in sideways, wicking off the mountain, and then flying up my nose. And so I couldn't deal with it. So we had to go back down the mountain. But, So I thought I didn't have to bring food. Well, you know what? I should have brought food. Because it was a longer hike. It was like a 5-6 hour hike. So, yeah, so this time, learning my lesson, realizing that you should bring food regardless, Panorama Ridge brought a lot of food. Brought my life straw, which if you don't have a life straw, get one. If you're going hiking, it's worth it. Saves your Camelback, saves you having to worry about what water you're eating. Filters out all the bad water. It's great, man. I put so much gross stuff in there, and it filters out. Don't even taste anything gross. Don't taste anything gross. You could put anything. It like filters out Ebola. Isn't it? Is it like Ebola or something like that? It's like, yeah, it's a crazy life straw. If you're doing anything, let's see, life straw. Life straw BC. I'm looking this up right now. I don't know why I put BC. Let's just look up the life straw. And boom. It is, here we go. Oh, it filters 1,000 gallons or 4,000 liters of water for an individual for over 5 years. So it basically lasts forever. Like, it's not forever, but, like, that's pretty darn impressive. And then, so what they're doing, too, like, I don't even know why I'm shilling for LifeStraw, but it is kind of amazing. So it removes bacteria, parasites, and microplastics. It only weighs 2 ounces, and I got the water bottle type, so it's easy to clean and store. Tested all over the globe. 5 years worth of drinking water in the palm of your hand. It's amazing. It's awesome. So that's essentially LifeStraw. Bring it. So it beats my Camel Pack, which is super moldy right now. And I don't have to carry as much. I just like find a stream. It's like, oh, I'm gonna drink from this delicious, slightly sketchy looking stream. I don't know if a bear peed in it. Not Ebola. It doesn't remove Ebola. It removes E. coli. That's good. So you're still gonna get Ebola, but you might not get E. coli. And I think like a third of their proceeds go to like funding these overseas. So it's pretty awesome. Like it goes to funding. It goes to funding like making life straws for people without water. So that's pretty cool. I think that's good. It's noble. Anyway, getting back down the mountain was tough. We got back down, what did I get back down around? I got down around, 7, we made it down. By the end of it, I was achy. My partner was, like, freaking out about horse flies. It was a long haul. There's a lot of swearing, we're never going to hike again. That is a long haul to do in a day. And I'll say this, like, as far as, like, I'm not a big loose gravel fan when I hike. I like knowing where, I like stepping on big rocks, and I like stepping on secure holds. I think the problem I have with some of the hikes in Whistler, I just feel like they're well maintained and all, but then you get to these like loose parts and it just messes with your ankle. So anytime like, and then there's like, it has the illusion of being this nice trail and then you have a bunch of weird rocks in it. And I don't know. I was tripping a lot by the end of that day. I'd also hiked 30K. So, yeah, overall, it's a really nice hike. I posted a video to my local trails, which I hadn't done in forever. That was fun. And, we got it done. It was good. So, there's that. That was a big thing in the weekend. And this is where I'm going to bring it to. I'm not going to bring in the end of the show, but I'm going to warn everybody that's listening right now. If you're watching, if you're listening to this podcast, just be aware because it's about to get like a whole lot nerdier. So first half of this podcast, wanted to spend it talking about the old Panorama Ridge. Did that. Great. Now I'm going to go into SummerSlam and I'm going to talk a little bit about SummerSlam for the last little bit here. Yeah. Watch SummerSlam. And it's going to get, so, like, yeah. Basically, if you don't want to hear nerd talk, then that's it. That's unnecessary noise is over for you. But yeah, so SummerSlam, if you don't know what SummerSlam is, it's like the second biggest show the WWE puts on every year. And other than WrestleMania, all the big matches, it's fun to watch. It's a party. My buddy Nielsen just got married last week through a SummerSlam party. Invited us all over. So here's how it goes. And I'm going to talk about the matches. Like, I always think of this, it's kind of like a Super Bowl party. Like, I'm not a big, like, I don't really pay attention if there are no teams that I'm, like, really caring about in the Super Bowl. Unless it's, like, you know, watching Tom Brady lose. And even then, I'm not, yeah. It's kind of, I guess, you know, with Tom Brady, and I'm just thinking about this. even now, like Tom Brady now, I'm okay. I think because he's won so many times, you kind of want to see just how much more he can go, right? Like, it's still the arch villain. It's almost like Ric Flair, you know? And I'm just using this as a wrestling, this wrestling analogy. Or like The Rock. When the guy becomes a heel for so long, like Bill Belichick, Tom Brady, and they're the bad guy for so long, you kind of just are like, you just kind of got to keep tipping your cap. And the Pats have. They've been the heel of the NFL. They've been the bad guy. Like, they're the Joker to every other team's Batman. You know? So, and of course, yeah. In Boston, in New England, they're the Batman to everybody else's gallery of rogues. So, but yeah, unless it's a big, I guess, you know what? I still pay attention. I like football. But a lot of times the Super Bowl is about the food. It's about the atmosphere. It's about having a party. That's what our SummerSlam and our WrestleMania parties are like. So, getting into it, having said that, I still want to talk about what happened and a couple of things that I watched. Because it was also in the six. It was in Toronto. A lot of Raptors references. Very cool. So let's talk about the matches. Becky Lynch. It starts off the show. Becky Lynch is the champion, and she defeated Natalya for WWE's Raw's Women's Championship. Now, Becky Lynch won. I think she won this off Ronda Rousey, am I right? She won the Raw Women's Championship off of Ronda Rousey last year. Last WrestleMania, so at April, and that's when she beat Ronda Rousey. I think she pinned her. It seemed like a really screwy finish, and then she's holding up the two belts like, okay, I won, cool, really, we had like 3/4 of a match left to go, all right, good stuff, all right. And then the ref kind of screwed it up, but yeah, this one, a lot of people liked it. It was weird. Becky Lynch and Natalya both were, like, dressed like they'd just come out of some sort of S&M shop, which was, like, this weird leathery thing. And they were wearing almost the exact same thing. And not that I care about what people are wearing, but if you're talking about the costumes and pageantry, it almost looked like they were trying to be the exact same character. As far as the match itself goes, it was okay. It was cool. It was fine to open it, and people got started getting amped about it. Becky Lynch ended up winning. It was a fine opening match. 12 minutes, it was good. Probably, you know what? If I had to do it over again, I might have even... Actually, no. That was a good way to open the match. Open it. Because you know what? Everybody wants to see Becky Lynch win. She's one of the most over stars in the WWE right now. She defeats Natalya. I didn't think, the only problem is I didn't ever think Natalya had a chance of taking the title from her. I know some people have said, especially on Instagram or Twitter and YouTube, I'm watching a couple reviews, and they said that they thought that, oh, it could have gone either way. No, it couldn't have. No. It's one of those things where Natalya's been around the company too long. They haven't repackaged her enough to make her get a serious run at this title. And she's never been women's champion. So I don't think she's going to ever get... I don't think she might get a shot just to tie into Total Divas. But I don't think... I just didn't see it with this one. Just because, yeah. Yeah. Everything looked too the same. Like, you had to watch it, but you're like, what? What are you guys? What? Okay. And then next one, Goldberg. Goldberg defeated Dolph Ziggler. So this was the second match on the main card. And I'm talking about the main card. This is a long show. This is like a 4-hour show. So this is a whole thing. This is a whole evening. Goldberg defeated Dolph Ziggler. And I guess the build-up to this match is Dolph Ziggler's making fun of people and saying how he's better than, like, all these guys. And then Shawn Michaels, he's like, I'm better than Shawn Michaels. And then Goldberg comes out and says, or he signs a match to face The Miz, and then The Miz is like, it's not to face me, it's to face Goldberg. Which, again, I'm confused, like, okay. He's fighting Goldberg. And don't get me wrong, Goldberg's awesome. Goldberg was awesome when he was in the, what was it, WCW in like 98. In his last run, despite unseating Kevin Owens as the Universal Champion, I thought it was a good run. I thought it was an interesting little run that he had as champ in the WWE with his mini streak, beating Brock like twice. And yeah, but anyways, Goldberg has like a 2-minute match with Dolph, spears him, jackhammer, wins. And then Dolph just keeps getting up and saying, you can't face me like a man. I don't understand that. Like, you can't face me like a man. He just beat you. Dolph, he just beat you. Dolph keeps yelling out at him as Goldberg keeps walking off into the back, and he grabs the mic. Dolph grabs the mic. He's like, you can't beat me. You can't face me like a man. And Goldberg keeps pummeling him. Goldberg just keeps pummeling and pummeling and pummeling him. Didn't really understand why. Like, it was funny. It was funny. Didn't understand why Dolph was doing it. But, yeah. It was Goldberg totally destroyed Dolph. And the funny thing is, though, Goldberg still looks like he can go. Goldberg still looks like he can have, he can be a monster and beat you in a second. That's cool. It doesn't look like he can take a bump. But yeah, it was interesting. I can't remember. Did Goldberg, yeah, no. I'm trying to remember the matches themselves. I don't think Goldberg I don't think he got booed. I think they started liking him. I think they're booing Dolph Ziggler. I think Dolph needs new music and I don't know, that pink. His entrance video looks like something Avril Lavigne would have had on her album cover in like 2005. It was like Avril Lavigne and Sum 41. It's just very weird and kind of dated. And I don't think he's built up enough of a rep where people remember him as good ever. It's been a while. So, yeah. Goldberg beat Dolph Ziggler in 1:50. So next up, you had AJ Styles with Karl Anderson and Luke Gallows as the OC, a.k.a. the original Bullet Club, which isn't the original Bullet Club, side note. The original Bullet Club is Bad Luck Fale and Prince Devitt, a.k.a. Finn Balor. See, I told you guys this was going to get nerdy. Singles match for the WWE Championship, 13 minutes. WWE US Championship, 13 minutes. It was okay. It was good. A lot of flippy stuff. This is definitely the flippy match. And, you know, I do like the fact that they actually have a gang in WWE. Like, okay, finally, AJ and what was it, the Gallows and Anderson, they form a legit tag team. Luke Gallows is finally starting to wear his face paint back from New Japan, which is kind of cool. They have the stupidest looking samurai skull character on their side. It looks kind of cartoony. If they just had the OC, that would be... Actually, that'd be even worse. The OC? Yeah, why are we calling it the OC? There was a soap opera called the OC. I just realized... Oh, my gosh. Why? The more I say it... Oh, no. Oh, no, guys. What was the song from the OC? The original OC. It was great. Then the guy that went on to be play Brody. What's his face? Or not Brody. Commissioner Gordon. He was the main star. And then Peter Gallagher. So you got, yeah, so that was good. 13-minute match. One. Bayley defeated Ember Moon. That was like the battle of the gimmicks. The next one, I'm moving on. AJ beat Ricochet, retained his championship. The club looked strong. It was a good match. It might have been one of the best matches of the night overall. Bayley defeated Ember Moon for the women's championship. That was fine. It was like the battle of the good guy gimmicks because one of them's a werewolf, and the other one has like hugs people. So it was, yeah, I don't know. It was weird. I don't think anybody really understood why they were fighting. I guess one just wanted the belt, which I guess is a reason enough. Kevin Owens defeats Shane McMahon, singles match. If Owens had lost, he would have had to quit the WWE. Now, Kevin Owens is essentially Stone Cold Steve Austin right now in the WWE. He's like a combination of Steve Austin and CM Punk and Bugs Bunny. Because I feel like Austin, if he was just a pure Steve Austin, he would be getting arrested night in, night out. Instead, he makes his escape. CM Punk, he's kind of CM Punk as he's spitting truth and like dropping pipe bombs, kayfabe pipe bombs about the WWE. He's kind of representing the every fan. And, you know, Bugs Bunny, because he'll come in, stunner, and then run away. And, you know, it's like Elmer Fudd. Shane McMahon is Elmer Fudd right now. So I basically described wrestling the other day as a, like, it's part sports entertainment, part Muppet show. Like, the way they have these goofy vignettes come in every once in a while. Like, oh, waka waka, I'm going to fight, I don't know, Finn Balor for the championship. Oh, waka waka. I don't know. It's entertaining. Let's see what we got. But yeah, that was fun. It lasted about 10 minutes. Kevin Owens ends up low-blowing Shane McMahon with a stunner. That was a fun match. That was fun. Just because there's so much going into it. It was goofy. It was wacky. It's what you want pro wrestling to be. That was a lot of fun. Charlotte Flair defeated Trish Stratus by submission. This match went on probably about 10 minutes longer than it needed to. They wanted Trish because she's in her hometown, and it's like 16 minutes. I'm like, I don't want to watch a 16 minute match. Trish Stratus was the big champion of like the mid 2000s, late 90s. She's kind of like Attitude Era to like Ruthless Aggression. Was that what that era was called? So like early to mid 2000s, she was the star, and then Charlotte Flair is like the star of today. And so they had this match, and I got to say, you could tell she could still go. I think she needed a few more like practice reps before she suddenly went into SummerSlam, because it was, you tell there's still a little bit of ring rust. Overall, it was okay, but it ran long, and you could tell there were a couple spots that I was like, okay, I'm moved on. I'm not really that invested. The promos weren't that exciting. But yeah, at least on Trish's part. And yeah, Charlotte did a good job, but yeah. Okay, what else have I got? I've got three more. I won't do this for every pay-per-view. This isn't going to just be a review show. But let's talk about real quick about Kofi Kingston versus Randy Orton. Ended in a double countout. It was a fine match. It was good. It was okay. Like, Randy Orton, I just don't care about, period. I think, I got to say, everyone talks about how talented he is and how good he is. He just looks bored. Every single time you see him, he just looks bored. And maybe that's what happens when you win everything very early on in your career. And he's had a long career, but he just looks bored. His promos are boring. He is boring. Yeah, he's got a cool finisher, but he stole that from Steve Austin and DDP. He's athletic, but he's boring. Okay? And so I don't know. If he didn't have such great story, like, writing early on, he would still be boring. Like, every feud he's been in, he has to be in there with someone that knows how to cut a promo. And Kofi's good. Kofi's at least got a character. Randy is just All right. And so, like, you also, so you had, this was probably the only problem I had with this entire setup. And I guess you kind of, like, you kind of probably could have put Charlotte and Trish maybe earlier on in the card and cut him. Or you could have put, like, this one. I mean, I guess you can't because it's the championship. Kofi Kingston versus Randy Orton ending in a double countout. It ended in a double countout, and then Kofi went psycho on Randy and just beat him down. Because Randy was taunting him in front of Kofi's kids. And, yeah, it was, I mean, it ended cool. It was fine. Again, and the match itself was fine. It was fun. But yeah, not, it just was not, I don't know, I'm just not a Randy Orton fan. Didn't need to be 16 minutes, 45 seconds. Neither of them did. Next is The Fiend Bray Wyatt faces Finn Balor in a singles match in like 3 minutes, 25 seconds. This was like the perfect match, like palate cleanser match. We've been waiting for The Fiend forever. He's this Bray Wyatt's character who's this like crazy evil Mr. Rogers, as my buddy calls him, and then he turns into like Jekyll and Hyde. He's got this weird creepy mask that looks like it looks like he stretched out a person's skin but there's still teeth on it. It's creepy. And then he's got a lantern. He comes out with a lantern and the lantern has the old Bray Wyatt's head on it. Like, it's just weird stuff, but it's kind of awesome. Yeah, and he's got these odd pants. He just looks, I don't know, like a weird comic book villain, like slash horror movie. It was good. That was good. And then Seth Rollins defeating Brock Lesnar. I can't say his name. Brock Lesnar. Nailed it. Great. That was an awesome match. Brock Lesnar actually had a match for the first time in God knows how long. And it was a decent match. It wasn't like a 2 minutes and we're over match. It was good. So, no, that one, and I want to see how long it ran because I'm not sure. Let's see. SummerSlam 2019. Boom. I'm not sure how long that one ran. There it is. It was 13 minutes. It was an actual like 10-minute match. Brock Lesnar sold. It was good. So yeah, overall, I enjoyed SummerSlam. It was probably one of the better ones in a while. One of the better pay-per-views in a while. It's nice to see Brock there beating up Seth. But yeah, no. And then Seth coming back for the win. But yeah, that's my review. That is my take on SummerSlam 2019. That is my review for the day. I don't know if I'm going to keep doing more SummerSlam reviews or wrestling reviews. I feel like that ran on really long. But having said that, you don't have to listen to the whole podcast. That's it for me for today. I'm going to wrap it up and call it a day. Wow, we ran 43 minutes. I was going for 30. That was like a 25-minute review. Ugh. Stream of consciousness. Moral of the story, keep track of your time. And yeah, that's it, guys. Hope you had a great week. Have a great week. And Baba Booey, please out. Oh, yeah, follow me on Instagram at TJ Tulloch, Twitter at TJ Tulloch. You know the drill. Peace. Tell your friends.